The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, March 9th, 2021. A Widow Wednesday. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One, at Gary Widow.
Top there, Greg. You seem like you were surprised to be doing a show for a second. It's like, oh, like.
Well, the thing, when Kevin counts us in and we have the thing go and then we let the thing go, I sit there and you're like waiting for, I have to watch out of the corner of my eye for the screen to change over. But then at the last second, Gary, I remember that there's just a little bit of a delay, and I've seen it before when I watch Kind of Funny programming, that if you're not kind of move, it's weird to be full stop and then go. So I do this little thing where I'm like moving around a bit. Give it a little bit of motion. You know what I mean? Because if there's motion in your ocean,
I think it's
for a lot of
doesn't matter the size of the boat.
I honestly have no idea. There's not been any motion in my ocean for many years. So whatever people are saying about it has no relevance to me. It's funny because we talk about this all the time, like in on Twitch, like you see established streamers, like every stream, like there's some kind of problem, like audio or whatever, like they manage to screw up. And I think it's kind of comforting to like newbie YouTubers and newbie streamers and people that are just like getting the hang of it, that even the established pros, even like the great Kind of Funny Empire, like you're still kind of making all the shit up as we go.
Of course. Like, well, doing any of this is just about rolling with the punches and being able to go with it. You know what I mean? That's why people think we have our shit together. It's just because nothing can stop us. Right now, Kevin drops dead. We keep broadcasting. And I eventually call Paula while I hear her crying in the background talking to 911. And I'm like, hey, can you mute Kevin's mic? That's all I need. You know what I mean? Like, let it keep going. We'll send Barrett over there. Maybe Joey wakes up in an hour and a half. She goes up there and turns it off when it's over. But we can keep going. Now, turning it back on after we turn it back off, that's a huge problem, Kevin, you know, integral to this entire operation. But there's something we could do to get around it, I think. Am I wrong, Kevin?
No, we'll figure it out.
And that's how you'd want it, Kevin, right? You wouldn't want the show to stop for anything.
Right.
Kevin is the wild card for sure. He's the Charlie of the group. In that, like, he's like, in many ways, the most valuable member of the group. Like, the whole Kind of Funny operation grinds to a halt without him. Like, he's definitely like the MVP behind the scenes. And yet, as integral as he is, you never know when he's just going to fall asleep or something. Like, it can just happen and like throw you a wrench in the middle of a live show.
I fall asleep at appropriate moments. All right. I very rarely fall asleep when it's something important. Right. A lot of boring shit. You guys going to talk about fucking Division or Marvel all day? Fine, I'll take a little nap. The game, not the...
You like Division.
There's been numerous occasions. I'd love to see a supercut of it. Maybe a best friend can put it together. Like times when in the middle of a conversation, we've called on you. And it's so clear from your reaction that you like had dozed off and were just now like coming back to the conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me. I do the same thing. And I'm actually on camera, so I'm not one to talk.
We have an interesting thing going here, you know.
We do.
One of the best moments we've ever had on this show is Gary admitting to him not being.
Oh, sorry, I was miles away.
I know that turned into a viral thing. I remember. Yeah,
that was when people started to love you. You know what I mean? Up until then, they weren't sold on you yet. But that was the moment. That's when you turned it around, Gary.
Yes.
Believe it or not, as we bullshit around, there is literally no time to waste today, ladies and gentlemen. It has finally happened. Xbox has bought Bethesda. We're going to talk about that and so much more because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. On patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can ask us your questions. You can support us as a producer. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post-show we do each and every weekday. However, if you have no bucks tossed our way, it's no big deal. You could be watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like Y2 Jervis is, Flaw Lex is, and Milton Stilton has a good name is right now. Of course, if you're watching live on Twitch, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you. It is a new In Review starting right now, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny or the In Review podcast feed and start watching Godzilla In Review with us. Of course, we started with Godzilla 2014. We are building towards Godzilla versus Kong coming to HBO Max very soon. Maybe
you're not doing all the classic ones? There's like 50 Godzilla films.
Yeah, Gary, we have things to do, and those don't pull in. We do. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. I like it when you get.
You're going to do Godzilla In Review and not actually include a single actual Japanese Godzilla film.
What the fuck?
Gary, the way In Review works is that it's building you up for a movie that's coming. So, like, what I understand what you're saying, but that's not canonical anymore. We're trying to build you up for Godzilla vs. Kong, so you understand he fought the Mutos. You know what I mean? That one of them had an egg belly. Remember the egg belly?
Egg belly.
Muto. That's right, Kevin. That's what they said in the movie.
I've said my piece. Let's move on.
But, Gary,
yeah, whatever, Gary. No respect for what we do.
They're old movies. Old.
Oh yeah, I don't want to watch any old movies. Nothing old is good.
This is your app controlled coffee mug, right?
Yeah, this is the Ember. It's a heated. I sometimes have to update the firmware on this. I can't have my coffee in the morning unless I've had my firmware updated.
Does it keep it piping hot or just a little?
Yeah,
bit
hot? So the magic of it is. I don't know about you, Greg, but I'm a sipper. I sip my coffee very slowly.
Yeah.
And what that often means is, like, the bottom half of the cup, it starts to get a bit tepid, and you either have to put it back in the microwave, and that's never good for the flavor, or you just chuck it out because nobody wants to drink room temperature coffee.
I do. That's what I wait for, actually.
Oh, I don't like it. So what's amazing about this, it actually took me a while to get used to, is even if I spend like 2 hours drinking coffee, because I get distracted and running around, it takes me a long time to drink just like an 8 ounce cup of coffee. The last sip is as piping hot as the first sip. And that actually takes a while to get used to. I love it though.
Okay. Thank you to our Patreon producers, the Nanobiologist, a.k.a. Mick Abramson, Blackjack, Trent Barry, and Black... Oh, Blackjack's on here twice. Interesting. Today, we're brought to you by Logitech and HelloFresh, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for every egg belly, Kevin. Six items on the Roper Report.
Oh, Baker's dozen. Muto's.
Give me another egg belly scream. Give me another egg belly scream, Kevin.
What did I say? I don't remember.
Did you want egg belly? Cracked me up. I like that a lot. It's all right. Godzilla 2014, a fantastic film. Don't listen to anybody else. Number one on the Roper Report. Xbox has done it. It is official. Microsoft has bought ZeniMax Media, meaning that Xbox has bought Bethesda. We will start. Kevin, I put a trailer in here. If you can play it with no sound, there's a great, if you want, required viewing trailer up that is Pete Hines narrating this trailer you're about to see, talking about Bethesda growing from, you know, being basically in a garage to now being this giant worldwide company and what this Microsoft thing means. But we'll start with Xbox. Over on the Xbox Wire, Phil Spencer put up the following post. This is an exciting day for Xbox. Today, we officially complete the acquisition of ZeniMax Media, parent company of Bethesda Softworks. It's an honor to welcome the 8 incredibly talented development studios, Bethesda Game Studios, id Software, ZeniMax Online Studios, Arkane, Machine Games, Tango Gameworks, Alpha Dog, and Roundhouse Studios, and their passionate global communities to the Xbox family. Now that everything is official, we can begin working to deliver more great games to everyone. At every step building towards this moment, I've been inspired and motivated by the creativity, insight, and community-first approach of the talented people at Bethesda. Our goal is to give these teams the best foundation for doing their greatest work and to learn from them as we continue to build Xbox into an inclusive platform for all players. This is the next step in building an industry-leading first-party studios team, a commitment we have to our Xbox community. With the addition of the Bethesda creative teams, gamers should know that Xbox consoles, PC, and Game Pass will be the best place to experience new Bethesda games, including some new titles in the future that will be exclusive to Xbox and PC players. As we shared previously, it's vitally important that Bethesda continues making games the way it always has. We look forward to empowering Bethesda's creative teams to reach even more players around the world, helping make future Bethesda titles the biggest and most popular games in their history. Xbox and Bethesda have long shared a common vision for the future of gaming, both as fans and as creators. Bethesda understands the potential of Xbox Game Pass. We would also like to honor the life and memory of my close friend, Robert A. Altman, founder of ZeniMax Media. Robert believed deeply in the power of gaming, and we are privileged to be able to continue his work by joining forces with the teams he built and led for many years. I will miss the opportunity to work directly with him on the future of our combined teams, but I know that his spirit will live on in the shared work that we do and motivate us to make this partnership all he envisioned. Thank you to all our players joining us on this incredible journey and to the millions of Bethesda fans around the world. Now that we're one team, we can start working together on the future ahead. We will have more to share about what's next for our teams later this year. In the meantime, to properly celebrate this special moment, we are bringing additional Bethesda games to Xbox Game Pass later this week. Stay tuned for more details. Gary, this was accompanied as well by Pete Hines putting up a post over on the Bethesda thing, echoing many of the things Phil's talking about here, also honoring Robert Altman, of course, founder and friend of Pete and Phil. One of the things in Pete's letter I wanted to call out was this. First, let me say, we're not making any landmark announcements or changes right now. As we've all shared, the expectation is that Bethesda Softworks and our studios will continue as we have in the past, just with more support and resources than we've ever had before. Obviously, Game Pass has been an important initiative for Xbox, and we'll be working on putting even more of our games into Game Pass than ever before. Beyond that, stay tuned. We're just getting started together. Gary Whitta, co-host of the Kinda Funny XCast, what is your take on this? Have you danced on Paris Lily's grave yet, Mister? That they spend all this money, all their games are going to go everywhere, and they're just going to stay exclusive. You know,
I don't think Paris and I have ever really been in conflict about this. I know he and I think we're a little bit in disagreement at the very beginning. But you know, I if you listen to Games Daily or watch the XCast, you'll know that I've actually been all over the map on this. I've vacillated a lot.
You're a flip flopper.
I've flipped and I've flopped and I've flip flopped. As it turns out, where I ended up on it actually was closest to what really happened. Allow me to explain. At the beginning,
allow me to explain.
when they first announced this, I was actually on the train of no. They'll continue to publish his games on PlayStation and Switch and other platforms because these are major franchises and there's too much money to be made. You know, by keeping them multi-platform. Look at Minecraft. Microsoft bought Minecraft and they didn't bring that in-house. You can still play that on PlayStation, Switch, what have you. And Paris was like, you're crazy, and that's kind of where we were in conflict because he's always been on the exclusivity train. And then as time went on, and I just kind of thought more about, you know, the different business equations and the reasons to do it versus not do it, I started to kind of get more on Paris's side of the argument. Think, no, it makes sense. Like there's been this issue out there. How much of it is real and how much of it is perception? Probably a bit of both. The Xbox just doesn't have the first party kind of in-house studio strength. It doesn't have that in-house stable of exclusive titles that Sony does. Now they do. I mean, my goodness, like with the stroke of Phil Spencer's pen, like it's like not only has Microsoft achieved parity with Sony in terms of first party titles, I believe they've surpassed them. I mean, think about it. Elder Scrolls, Fallout, Doom, Wolfenstein, Prey, Dishonored, Evil Within. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Multiple studios, multiple AAA franchises. This is a huge, huge deal. What's interesting is I woke up this morning, in terms of the exclusivity aspect, I woke up this morning and I saw that the deal had been signed and I saw the press release and I clicked on it thinking, in my naivety, thinking, finally, some clarity, we'll get to know what's going on here. And of course, like, having gotten to the end of the very carefully curated kind of dancing around the issue press release they put out, where they were obviously very, very careful not to say too much. I think they said, like, some titles will be exclusive going forward, some won't. Like,
new titles in the future that will be exclusive to Xbox
PC. We are essentially none the wiser. It could still fall that announcement in terms of what's going to be brought in-house exclusively and what's going to continue to be multi-platform. That's going to be saved for an announcement at a later date. What's interesting, I did a Twitter Spaces chat with Paris early this morning. The point I made at the time is obviously this is huge news in the Xbox world right now. But it's sure. it's actually Xbox gamers who have the least reason to be interested in this news. It's good news for everyone, but like we already we already know we're going to continue to get the games. It's nice to know that they're going to be free on Game Pass, because you know if you're on Xbox, you almost certainly have Game Pass as well. And that's good. And if you're into the dick measuring console wars bullshit, it's a nice thing to be able to wave in Sony people's faces, I guess. But like, if you just care about the quality of your life as a gamer going forward, Xbox gamers are already inside the lifeboat, right? We know we're getting these games going forward. We are going to be good on Xbox to continue playing Doom and Wolfenstein and Elder Scrolls and all of these games for a long time. It's the PlayStation and Nintendo gamers who are splashing around in the water outside going, is there room for us in the lifeboat too? We just don't know. That's the unanswered question.
They're fine. PlayStation,
or are we going to have to buy into the Xbox ecosystem in some way?
Switch gamers, they don't even care. They're over there playing Mario. They're shooting a rabbit. They don't know what's going on. PlayStation gamers, they're not worried at all, because it says very clearly here, you're saying it's garbled, very clearly, gamers should know that Xbox consoles, PC, and Game Pass will be the best place to experience new Bethesda games, meaning that they're already on PlayStation. And then they say some new titles in the future that will be exclusive to Xbox and PC. When you get whatever weird offshoot game for that's going to be exclusive, good for you. Paris Lilly from the Kind of Funny Xcast has joined us to apologize to everyone for getting everyone so bent out of shape about this and saying, of course, Elder Scrolls and Starfield are going to be exclusive. Here he is. It's clear as day. They're still coming to PlayStation. Paris, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. And I apologize to absolutely nobody, because if you read what was said, this is them clearly they're still in CYA mode with this, right?
Yeah.
But I think the simplest way to look at this is any new game that Bethesda creates, aka Starfield, I would not hold my breath to see that show up on a PlayStation platform. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think this also gives them flexibility in the multiplayer space, because it would make sense that any multiplayer game that Bethesda makes, you want that on every platform that you can possibly have it on. But I think the leverage play here is single player experiences coming from Bethesda. You make that exclusive to Xbox and you use that to push people to subscribe to Game Pass. I think that's what we're seeing. I also think in the short term, you will still see games like potentially Wolfenstein 3, as an example, still show up on PlayStation, because it's probably so far in development. Why would you, what's the point? You might as well just go ahead and put it out. But yeah, I think the long-term play here is still they're going to take the majority of these major single-player IPs exclusive. Starfield, absolutely. I think Elder Scrolls 6 and even something like a Fallout 5 is on the table to be exclusive to Xbox. This even opens the debate Indiana Jones. We could have another Spider-Man situation here with Indiana Jones where that does wind up being exclusive to Xbox. Look, I'm not saying 100% this is going to happen. Clearly, I wasn't completely right with everything that I said, but I still can contend. Go ahead.
For a full stop here, obviously, I'm being facetious. This doesn't clear up anything. I don't think you're saying, you're like, clearly I wasn't right about some things. I don't know if you're wrong about anything. We don't know, right? The best place to experience new Bethesda games, including some new titles in the future that'll be exclusive. Like, what the hell does that mean?
Microsoft loved this. We talked to Paris and I talked about this earlier on. Like, they're playing us like fiddles. They know what they're doing. It's the fact that the announcement was completed and Microsoft now owns all of these massive studios and major franchises, that's enough news for one day. They'll get more news out of the exclusivity announcement, whatever that is, down the road. They'll have another big event where they actually will bring clarity. But anyone who thought that they were going to get clarity today because the deal closed, no, Microsoft's going to play this out for a bit longer. And again, I think ultimately I ended up being kind of closer to what actually happened, which is a little from column A, a little from column B. I think Paris is right. You know, existing titles that are in development, I think they will, you know, they'll continue to support, you know, Fallout 76 and things like that, multi-platform titles. But Fallout 5 and things like that may not be, who knows how, you know, deep into development they are. But like going forward, I do now believe that they are going to bring these games in-house. And if you want to play, you got to get involved in the Xbox ecosystem sometime. And the interesting thing about that is that doesn't necessarily mean buying an Xbox, because you know Microsoft's strategy now, selling you hardware to play these games on, is an ever decreasing part of their overall strategy. What they're really in is in the Netflix business, subscription business of selling Game Pass. In the Paris and I and Mike have talked about this a lot on the Xcast. In the future, you're going to go to Best Buy or Walmart or Target or whatever, and you're going to see the TVs in the electronic section. They're going to have those little stickers. Spotify comes with a Netflix preloaded, comes with Disney Plus, and you're going to see a little green badge that says comes with Game Pass, and you're going to be able to stream those games right to your TV. They will probably, I think, ultimately sell some kind of little Stadia type dongle, a little stick, a stream like Xbox Mini, call it whatever you want to call it, or plug right into your TV. Xbox just wants your Game Pass money. They just want your $15 a month, and they want to make it as easy as possible to get there. That's why the Xbox Series S exists. Low price option. That's just the beginning. That's just the thin end of the wedge of the ways that Microsoft want to make it easy for you to get in on, get into this. So if it does end up being that you've got to play these games somewhere other than the PlayStation, which I think is going to be the case, it doesn't necessarily mean having to buy a whole other console, which some PlayStation, again, some PlayStation gamers who are really like dyed in the wool PlayStation freaks are never going to have an Xbox in their house. But they might pay for the Game Pass subscription to get the games and stream it or whatever, or get it in some other way.
This goes back to what I've been saying for so long, right? Of like, it's just the Trojan horse move. And again, that's where I think when we get into brass tacks of this, of arguing, and I know I talked about this yesterday, so I'll try to summarize it quickly, but of that, this whole, is it exclusive? Are Bethesda games going to be exclusive? Are they not going to be exclusive? Even if they're not exclusive, the trailer that they play that ends with the Xbox logo and say, start it right now for $14.99 or whatever the ridiculous Game Pass Ultimate deal for that week will be, like, you're going to see people have to have a real choice. And we're told all the time from our audience, right, of like, oh man, you guys don't fully understand what $60, $70 now means to us. Well, this is, again, you know, put your money where your mouth is. Of you see this for $14.99 and then you see it with trophies for $70, which one are you going to go for? And then, of course, the hope is that on Xbox's side, you do that trial month one time. I just want to play this Bethesda game that's getting amazing scores. You do it, you get in with Game Pass, you're playing it on your computer, right? You're streaming it to your phone, however you're doing it in the future. And you go, man, that was a lot of fun. And there's so many great things here and it works so well. Maybe I should look at getting an Xbox. And you go, maybe I'll buy, I have an old Xbox One. Oh, it's not as good. Maybe I'll try this Xbox S. Well, it's only $200 more to go to the X. Like, that's how they want to hook you and get you in there.
Yeah, I agree. It's all about finding ways to onboard you into that ecosystem. Game Pass is a phenomenal. It's, you know, again, I know that we joke about it. We often sound like we're on a TV infomercial. All these games are one low price. That can't be real. But it really is that good. And I think, you know, now that they've got these other kind of flagship quadruple A titles to get people to give Game Pass a look, once they've got you in, you do, oh shit, there actually is a ton of amazing stuff here. Like, I could arguably never need to buy another $60 game. I'll just have Game Pass, and it's this all you can eat buffet of games, and it's, you know, the people are going to stick around.
Paris, I know you were trying to get off the bench there. We can't see, obviously, because it would screw up the shot. So what were you about to say? But then also, I want you to tell me if you think this March 11th thing is going to happen. But for now, where are you right now in the conversation?
Actually, I'll start with the March 11th thing. I think it does happen, because I think this goes into the 2 points that I had. Game Pass is the key to everything here, right? And what I think the March 11th thing is, they're going to announce all these legacy Bethesda titles starting to come to Game Pass. Kind of my thing is, what this acquisition does is all past, present, and future Bethesda titles are on Game Pass. They're going to push that subscription service down your throat and try to continually add value to it. This is a part of that plan. The second part of this that I wanted to say was, to me, this allows Bethesda to just be Bethesda. They don't have to worry about any of the financial bullshit that happens at the top. Microsoft can worry about all that. Mm-hmm. Partnering with Xbox now allows them, which I do think is important, better QA of their titles. They don't have to rush things out to say, oh, Dishonored has to be out this holiday and go head to head with Uncharted 5, right? No. Let Dishonored breathe on its own. Put it out in the spring. Do whatever. Take your time innovating and making these games, all these valuable IPs that Bethesda has. And I understand from a gamer standpoint, you want all games to be exclusive. Of course, we all, or not be exclusive, I should say. We want games to be on every platform. But a part of this is business, right? So of course, some of these games are going to be exclusive. But I think overall, as gamers, Bethesda has some amazing IPs, and I think if they just get to worry about the process of making games, we all benefit from this. I truly, truly hope Starfield is one of the most amazing games ever made. It might only be on Xbox, and I understand that's going to upset some people, but overall, we need more new original IPs in this space that can be great. And I think this is the opportunity that Microsoft, being the financial muscle now behind Bethesda, is going to allow Todd Howard and those guys to be able to do that stuff.
It's also the normal two thing. If you're upset about it right now, I think as it becomes the normal reality, you forget about it. Like, if you're like, by the time you get to Starfield actually being out, where are you going to be with what consoles you own, or where's streaming going to be for X Cloud and for Game Pass in terms of how good it'll be? Like, you don't think about what you're thinking about right now. You are thinking 2-3 years into the future of where gaming tech will be and what'll be happening and what the actual console race, Xbox, PlayStation, will look like and stuff like that. Not to mention, like, every time anybody gets bought exclusively, there's the throw your hands up in the air. One side celebrates and one side's upset about it, it seems like, right? And so it'll be interesting as this shifts off and what it actually means, but I think everybody will get over it and it'll just become what the industry is, because that's what always happens. If you're not familiar with what we're talking about for the March 11th event, I'll jump you over to WCCF Tech. Microsoft appears to be gearing up for a Bethesda Xbox stream this Thursday. This was published yesterday. This is when the news was going around. Arnott van de Velde. From the looks of it, Microsoft is gearing up for a Bethesda Xbox stream later this week. As covered today, the merger is closer. That was yesterday, obviously. Of course, Jeffy Grubb, from GamesBeat had put up a new summer games mess where he listed on March 11th, what's up with the Xbox Bethesda acquisition? I wonder, and I haven't checked Jeff's tweets today, and Jeff, if you're in the chat, let me know. You can DM me or just join the Discord call. If that's changed or if this is what he was expecting. But in addition to Grubb's tweets, the official Xbox UK Twitter account set out a tweet some hours ago which mentioned some sort of mystery stream this Thursday, followed by the Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim stream this Friday. As expected, many now believe that this TBA event is related to the Microsoft/Bethesda merger, especially with Microsoft organizing a stream for a game that was released almost 10 years ago the day after. So if that's changed or moved around, I'm not sure. I will click on Jeffy Grubb's Twitter here, see what he's saying over here. But yeah, that's where we're at right now in terms of if something's happening on Thursday and we're going to get some kind of news. But it would be, I guess, yeah, as Phil's letter calls out, right? To celebrate the special moment, we're bringing additional Bethesda games into Xbox Game Pass later this week. Stay tuned for more details. That does make sense to me that you do a big stream there and like go and introduce these games to a new audience and really celebrate what you have. Anything else, boys?
I think we're all in broad agreement.
All right. Yeah,
I think we are.
Paris, I accept your apology.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I will let you guys get back to regularly scheduled programming.
Sounds good. Everybody listen to the XCast. They're going to have a lot to talk about Saturday, 6 a.m., youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe. Thank you, Paris.
See you, Paris.
Gary, let's jump to number two on the Roper Report. Is Call of Duty about to go boom? This is Stephen T. right over at GameSpot.com. Over the past few weeks, rumors have swirled that Call of Duty Warzone will soon experience a catastrophic event that will change the face of the game overnight. According to several notable leakers, this hypothetical nuke event, named for the nuclear warhead that was found in Bunker 11 back in 2020, will totally destroy the game's Verdansk map on March 11th to coincide with the game's one-year anniversary, clearing the way for a totally fresh locale. That said, given these rumors are largely based on the work of opinion of leakers, there's no way to know for sure if anything will happen on March 11th. Given that the other Battle Royale games like Fortnite have utilized terrain-changing disasters, such as meteor strikes, to change up their maps, it doesn't seem too far-fetched to expect Warzone to follow suit. But the exact timing is a mystery to everyone right now. Back in February, VGC published a report that claimed that Activision would blow up Verdansk in order to transition Warzone from the setting of Call of Duty Modern Warfare to the 80s-themed Black Ops series. VGC also reported that the nuke was originally scheduled to correspond with the release of Black Ops Cold War last year, but it was delayed. That report suggested that nuking itself would take place sometime in March or April. Although these are essentially rumors, leakers have reportedly dug up a surprising amount of details for the upcoming event. For example, Call of Duty leaker, this got lines of dialogue, this is going on, other lines correspond with the rumored plague mode, and the list goes on like this. Gary, you and I, not Warzone people, but of course, Nick Scarpino, Andy, Fran, Blessing, they're all dropping hot in the Warzone all the time. I put this in here, number one, because it's news and people should know about it, but number two, I think this is a really cool way to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, it's not I don't play Warzone anything like as much as Nick and Andy and Snowbike, but I do play. I don't play it a whole ton. I'm actually updating it in the background right now. Because I always like to be able to jump in whenever I feel like it. It is my battle royale of choice. I think, you know, if you want like a traditional, you know, kind of gritty battle royale shooter of all the ones that are out there, it's my personal favorite. I really, really enjoy watching it too. I enjoy watching, you know, Mike and Nick and those guys play when Mike rolls with his regular crew. It's always really fun. It's a great battle royale game. It's got its problems like any other, but I think it's really, really solid. They've done great work with it. And I like this model. It's actually a fairly established model now. I don't know if the first game ever to do it was World of Warcraft, but it's the first one I can think of with Cataclysm, you know, where that expansion, rather than just bolt on another continent, which they had been doing in the past, they radically reshaped the existing world. They were like, there's been this cataclysmic event, and the world that you knew has been basically shattered, you know, by this seismic event, and we've remade all of the zones, and now everything looks different. I think that's really cool. Fortnite's been doing this, right? They've had these big events where they've kind of, these earth-shattering events where they've kind of remade the world, and nothing that you remember is the same. And this is the latest example of that. And I think it's cool. It's a good way to kind of keep the game fresh. And I love the way that they almost reminds me, Greg, and you'll appreciate this, the way that they do storytelling in wrestling, you know, tease these storylines all the way through the year, and then they build and everything's kind of building up to the storylines being resolved in these climactic events at the big, you know, SummerSlams or WrestleMania or whatever. But the storylines have been percolating the whole time. Finding the nuke, there's like, I know Fortnite's done this. They've teased like, what is the rift and what is this thing that's coming? They get you invested and it's building up to this big cataclysmic event. I think that's really cool. It's a trend in gaming that I like. It's a great way to kind of keep the world fresh. But, you know, these service games where people are logging on and playing every day, it's easy for it to start to feel stale. You've got to quite literally shake things up every now and again. And this is a great way to do it. I'm all for it.
I mean, this is, you know, the kind of shit I would love to see out of a game like Avengers, which I know would be difficult, but one of the main problems I have with Avengers, right, is it's just there's nothing happening. It's the same shit if you log in there. Why would I actually turn it on? But more on next week's Blessing Show about that. For this one, it is like, I even though I am not playing Warzone, I appreciate this, and I appreciate the... I love when games in 2021, with all the leaks, with all the message boards, with all the social media, I still love that games are able to give you that playground experience I grew up with, where it was somebody would, you're all playing the same game and you start talking about it. And last night I found, no way, how did you do that? What do you mean? And like, you have to sit there and, well, I did this and I had this item and I had that equipped and I went and that's how the door opened. Like, you don't, that for a while I felt like kind of drifted away. And now it's happening in a different way where it is, oh my God, are they about to blow up the map we all love? Obviously, how many times have I heard Nick and Andy joke about Verdansk, right? Like, are they about to drastically change what that is? And yeah, I think most recently we've seen it with Fortnite, but it is a cool way to do it. Now, speaking of that, the same conversation's continuing, believe it or not, into number three. Fortnite is getting its first single-player mode ever here. This is Matt Perslow at IGN. Fortnite will soon provide players with a new single-player story event that acts as a conclusion to the current season of the Battle Royale. When Fortnite Chapter 2 Season 6 launches on March 16th, the first thing players will be met with is the Zero Crisis Finale. Described as a solo experience by developer Epic, it is the conclusion of Agent Jones' mission that formed the basis for Season 5's story. Epic promises that the aftermath of this single-player event will shape reality as we know it, suggesting that the event will push forward and make changes to Fortnite's storyline. Zero Crisis Finale also includes a story cinematic, which can be watched as part of the global premiere. Epic plans to share details on how to watch this in the coming days. Look at that. Pushing them all together, right? Of, again, Fortnite continuing to evolve. And I think I described it as a single, in the headline here when I originally said single player mode, it's a single player story event. Like this says, when you start up Chapter 6, it sounds like you'll have to play something single player and then it'll be over and then it'll just be Fortnite as you know it or we know it or whatever. But another cool way to do it. And I, you know, Fortnite, I do pay attention to, I do play, I do enjoy. I like to see them continue to push it and change it. And again, I, you know, this season with the bounty hunter stuff, the battle pass wasn't my jam like it was for the Marvel season before. So I didn't really get into it. I didn't invest like I know Kevin did and go after getting the full Beskar armor for the Mandalorian. You did that, right, Kevin? You hit 100. You got Baby Yoda.
Hell yeah, I did. Woo!
Hell yeah, he did, right?
Joey and Barrett all got it.
So like that, I'm glad that's awesome, and there wasn't enough of a motivating carrot at the end of the stick for me. But I didn't realize we were this close to season six. I'm excited now. Next week, I'm excited to see what this is about. Of course, the Zero Crisis thing ties in with the Batman comic book. They're doing a Batman Fortnite limited run comic book that drops in April. I am incredibly excited to see what next season is about and how much DC influence there is and yada, yada, yada. And again, to your point, Gary, from earlier on talking about Call of Duty, these abilities to come in and change these worlds to get the player base re-energized, so cool.
Yeah, I think it's really fun. I wasn't even aware that there was much in the way of storytelling going on in the Fortnite universe, because I'm not really invested in that game. But again, generally, I really, really like this. I'm always looking for interesting ways in which games can tell stories, and environmental storytelling is a big way that they can do that. They do it a lot in single player games, but I think it's actually really interesting to see it happening in these live, persistent mass multiplayer games like Call of Duty and like Fortnite, where, like, again, I don't necessarily play all of these games, but every now and again I'll see a story on like Kotaku or whatever where there'll be a story like someone's found a mysterious door in this game and no one knows where it leads or whatever.
Yep.
It just popped
Borderlands
up.
Had that for a long time
It gets people talking. It's like, what does this mean? And it's, you can almost, like, once you've built the world of a game, a living world that people are in all the time, it's almost like you can start to construct like an ARG inside the game world. Do you know what I mean? It's like clues and little doors, now that everyone's online, they can start to, you know, kind of collate their data. Well, what have you discovered? Well, I found this and it relates to that. I remember in the original Division, there was a mysterious room that didn't seem to have any purpose, but there were all these kind of clues and people, and it may have just been a big red herring, but like people were like, what does it mean? It seems like this room has a purpose, but we can't figure it out. Like, people get together on the message boards and they start talking, and sometimes it is actually a tease towards like a big story event or something that's coming down the road. I think it's great. It's a really, really interesting way to keep people invested in, you know, the ever-changing nature of the game world. I love it.
I agree. And yeah, I'm excited. Kevin, you excited for more Fortnite next week?
Hell yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do with all the stuff happening next week, guys. We got 4 hours of Snyder Cut. We got the Avengers update. We got Fortnite season popping off.
Hey, I bummed out. You missed out on that leak, Greg. If you'd have dialed in Tom and Jerry at just the right time, you could have watched it already.
I want you to know we were doing in review. You were recording in review yesterday. I'd been writing offline. I came back online to do this. I'm recording in review. You know, Nick, of course, is totally missing that Godzilla is a good guy and clearly established that in Godzilla 2014. And I look at the chat, or maybe it was Twitter, and it was like, yeah, if you get Tom, and I immediately ignore everyone and I go to HBO Max and I click on Tom and Jerry and it's just a fucking cat and mouse. I was so pissed off. I was like, God damn it. This is the kind of shit somebody should be calling me about. Why am I getting tweets about this? Call me about it, everybody. Tell me I can go watch the Snyder Cut right now. Good Lord.
I don't think anyone got to watch the whole thing, did they? The story has an hour of it and then it got cut off.
Yeah, they nipped it in the bud. I think it was just 2 hours. Yeah, and they cut it off at some point. But, you know, doesn't stop just the train next week. Don't worry about it.
Just 2 hours of this fucking
Borg-like. Borg-life. Hashtag Borg-life. It's happening. Don't worry about it. Number four on the Roper Report. Let's talk about another live service games as a service game. Apex on Switch runs at 30 frames per second. We go to Emma Kent at Eurogamer. In an interview with Famitsu, game director Chad Grenier, along with Andy Boggs and Dan Hongberg of Panic Button, Hanberg of Panic Button, the studio responsible for the port, spoke a little bit about the game's expected performance on Switch. According to them, Apex Legends will run at 720p when docked and 576p in handheld. That's a resolution I don't see thrown out as much as 720p. 576p in handheld, with a frame rate of 30 frames per second in both modes. Given that the Switch port will come with crossplay, some players have expressed concerns that Switch players will be at a disadvantage against other platforms, particularly given the game is capped at 60 frames per second on console and 144 frames per second on PC, with ways to get around the latter. As detailed in the Famitsu interview, there will be an option to disable crossplay, so you can choose whether to pool with other Switch users or give yourself a real challenge against PC and console. Hopefully, the Switch-only pool will have plenty of players for matchmaking. Gary, you never got into Apex, did you?
No, like I said, it's the kind of the battle royale world. That's I like the world building they did. The characters seem cool. For some reason, like, it just, you know, sometimes you can't put your finger on it. Just you're looking and go, no, not for me. I admire everything they've done with it. They've made a success out of it in a very crowded space. I think Respawn is a tremendous developer, and I love 100%. A lot of things they've done with Apex. In terms of the Switch version. Switch games and PlayStation games and Xbox games are often running at wacky non-standard resolutions. You just,
of course, yeah, checkerboard, stretch, really all that stuff.
Tell the difference. The Switch does it a lot, especially in handheld mode. This, not to want to change the subject too much, but, you know, all the more reason for an upgraded Switch in whatever form that's going to take to come out. You know, hopefully by this holiday on the Switch Pro, Switch Max, whatever the fuck you want to call it. New Switch, you know, Nintendo has its own kind of crazy ways of naming things. I was actually very skeptical. I was like, nah, they're not going to do that. They're selling a million of these things a day already. Like, why do they need to make a new one? It is starting to look a bit long in the tooth, though, the Switch, especially in the light of the new consoles. And we are at a point now, we talked about this a lot on the XCast recently, 30 frames a second, especially for a Twitch game like a shooter, it's not good enough anymore. Once you've seen 60 frames, you can't go back. We had a long conversation on the XCast about resolution versus frame rate. I can't tell a huge difference between 1080p and 4K. There's definitely some, but it's not as compelling a difference between 30 frames and 60, especially with a racing game or a shooter or something where, you know, that speed is of the essence. It's very, very hard to go back. Again, a game like Apex at 30 frames a second ain't going to cut it. That's why I think we do, you know, are going to be very grateful to have a Switch Pro or some kind of upgraded 4K Switch, not necessarily for
just
the,
that
the
sexier screen,
nice.
More screen. Yeah, Animal Crossing even bigger handheld. Yeah,
and that's what's got me thinking it is finally happening. A lot of the news you're seeing out of the supply chain in terms of the screens that are being ordered up and stuff like that is very compelling. I do think it's coming. You know, nice bigger display for handheld will be good. Dock it, get the 4K, get the 60 frames a second. Bring the Switch into far greater parity with where the PlayStation 5 and the Series X are right now. Again, let's just take a moment to like give credit to the Switch and what Nintendo's hardware engineers and what the developers of reported games to it have done. The Witcher running on a Switch, would you even believe that was possible? They somehow pulled it off. You know, obviously it's always going to be slightly the inferior version of the game, but I'm actually amazed what the Switch, you know, the little engine that could, what it's done is really, really remarkable. And that makes me very, very encouraged for what, you know, a more powerful version of the system will be capable of.
Yeah. To this Apex thing, again, I'm not a fan either, but I just appreciate that they have crossplay there if you want it, but they're giving you obviously the ability to turn it off, just play with people who are in the same realm as you, which is like was the, you know, the thing with Switch Fortnite for the longest time of I was really good at Switch Fortnite. Let me tell you, not so good when I went to the other platforms. Number five on the Roper Report, Walt Williams has been hired at Insomniac Games. We go to Eddie at GameSpot. Veteran video game writer Walt Williams has landed a new job with Insomniac Games, the Sony-owned developer of the Ratchet & Clank and Spider-Man franchises. Williams made the announcement on Twitter, quote, I may have done a thing, he wrote, attaching a photo of his eyes and a placard that says Insomniac Games. The exact nature of Williams' involvement with Insomniac is unclear, and we don't know what project or projects he may be contributing to, but it's clear he's now working with Insomniac in some capacity. Williams is a games industry veteran known for his work on a number of 2K properties, including Bioshock, Borderlands, Mafia, The Darkness, and, for Greg, most importantly, Spec Ops The Line. He also wrote for Star Wars Battlefront series. Additionally, Williams wrote a book, Significant Zero, which talks about the incredibly challenging nature of making AAA games. Of course, Walt Williams, friend of the show here. I've followed his career with great interest for quite some time. So to see him go to Insomniac, to see Insomniac pick up Drew Murray, I'm very excited to see what happens next. If Walt's working on Spider-Man 2, if he's doing something different over there. Obviously, you can't wait to play Ratchet in general, but very exciting stuff, Gary.
Yeah, this is a win-win, I think, for Insomniac and for Walt. I like Walt a lot. He's really, really talented. I've worked with Walt. I've been in writer's rooms with him. Very, very talented, great writer. Obviously, has a great resume. Very, very smart guy. You know, Insomniac is also one of the great story-based game companies. The Spider-Man was my favorite game of that year, or at least one of them, largely sure. Because the story in it was so great. Some of my favorite Spider-Man moments in comic books, movies, you name it, were in that game. Like, I really, really loved it. I love that they're a company out there like Naughty Dog that are kind of pursuing the highest storytelling ambitions. And, you know, if you're going to do that, Walt is a great guy to have on your team. I think they're going to do great things together. Good for Insomniac, good for Walt, happy for all concerned.
Normally I would ignore it, but I do like tossing it in there just for a little bit of gas on this fire. Kebabs on TV in our chat says Resistance. This sounds a lot like Resistance. And when you look at it, you know, working on a Bioshock, a Borderlands, a Mafia, a Darkness, Spec Ops Line, Battlefront, he does know how to write a story that involves you being on the other side of a gun. So don't hold your breath, everybody, but you never know. You never know. And speaking of holding your breath, everybody, Greg Way, number six and final on the Roper Report. There is hope for The Last of Us factions yet. We go to Eddie once again at GameSpot, who says The Last of Us developer Naughty Dog is hiring an, quote, economy designer to help the team with a multiplayer game that includes live operations and player progression. The job ad states that the successful candidate will help Naughty Dog, quote, create avenues for self-expression for our players, ensure robust longevity to our games, and give our players great rewards to strive for, end quote. This all sounds like Naughty Dog is working on a new multiplayer game with cosmetics that player can unlock to personalize their characters. None of this should be a surprise, as Naughty Dog confirmed more than a year ago that it's working on a standalone The Last of Us multiplayer game. However, Naughty Dog has kept very quiet about it in recent months. Many studios are now adopting and embracing live services for their new games, so it would be no shock to see Naughty Dog follow suit in some capacity. Gary, did you ever play Last of Us Factions?
No, but I find this whole economics thing fascinating. I remember some time ago when Blizzard, I mean, this is going way back now, it's been going on for a while, but I remember when Blizzard hired a full-time economist to work on the World of Warcraft economy. Like, they brought in someone who actually had like an economics degree or a doctorate to bring in and help them figure it out.
Because, EVE Online famously has some an economist on site.
We're at a point now where if you have one of these live services that has like a functioning economy, you need someone who actually understands real world economics to come in and help you make it function, because real world economics and in-game economics are subject to the same rules. You know, the rules of supply and demand and market forces and inflation and all these things that affect the real world economy. If you build a fully functioning economy and put and let real people play around with it and buy and trade goods and sell things, the real world laws of economics apply. So you need economic know-how to make sure that the economy doesn't, just in the same way that we have like a Federal Trade Commission and your Department of the Treasury and, you know, all these people there to make sure that the economy remains robust and functions and doesn't collapse. Once you build a really robust in-game virtual economy, you need that same knowledge. And so I think it's fascinating that that's actually something that's become part of, you know, game development is having, you know, full-time professional economists who can, you know, make sure that this stuff's working the way it should. Find it really interesting.
I find it interesting too, Gary, but I also find patreon.com/kindoffunnygames pretty interesting. You can go there to be part of the show with your questions, your comments, your concerns. You can go there to get the show with the post show we do each and every weekday. And you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get the show ad-free. But guess what, jerk? You didn't go there. You're watching it somewhere else. So let me tell you about our sponsor. I'm sorry I called you a jerk. It ran away with it. You know, I was going to call you a bozo, and then I was like, that seems mean. So I deviated to jerk, Kevin. Kevin, on the scale of insults, jerk better than bozo, worse than bozo?
Worse than bozo, but neither are bad. You know what I mean? Like, you're fine. They get it.
These jerks understand. These bozos. This episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Logitech. Gaming headsets are important. You want a headset with a good mic, good sound, and a headset that feels comfortable to wear. That's what's best about the G733 wireless gaming headset from Logitech G. The G733 Lightspeed wireless gaming headset comes with 2.4 gigahertz wireless connectivity, front-facing dual-zone LightSync RGB, Blue Voice mic technology, Pro G audio drivers, and multiple colorways to choose from. It also has total freedom with up to 20 meters wireless range with Lightspeed Wireless. Keep playing with more than 29 hours of battery life. Play wirelessly on PlayStation 4 with stereo sound. With front-facing dual-zone LightSync RGB lighting, you can personalize your headset lighting across style and comfort. The reversible suspension headband is designed for ultimate comfort during long play sessions. Each G733 colorway has its own unique headband design. There's also a soft dual-layer memory foam that conforms to your head and contours around your jaw for a better seal, reducing stress points and delivering long-lasting comfort. It's available in multiple colorways, each with its own vibrant, reversible headband and corresponding earpads. For a limited time, Logitech G is offering our listeners express shipping at logitechg.com. Use the code KINDOFFUNNY daily free ship 38 for express shipping today. That's express shipping on all Logitech G products with promo code KINDOFFUNNY daily free ship 38. Hurry now, since the promo code will expire in 3 days. It's like Mission Impossible. Our next sponsor, HelloFresh. What's HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered to your door. HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking fun and easy and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh cuts out stressful meal planning and grocery store trips so you can enjoy cooking and getting dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less. With more than 25 recipes to choose from each week, there is something for everyone to enjoy. All recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. Kind of Funny, of course, loves HelloFresh. Joey uses it all the time. Kevin is on the HelloFresh train. And even me, Greg Miller, has used it before, making some steaks, some peppercorn steaks, if I remember correctly, and a great quesadilla. Go to HelloFresh.com/12games and use the code 12games for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's 12games, all one word. That's HelloFresh.com/12games and use the code 12games for 12 free meals, including free shipping. Don't forget, everybody, HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. You jerks and bozos. Gary, I'm excited.
Yeah, sorry,
to see...
Greg, I wasn't miles away, but I was just over on this other screen while you're reading that. Some breaking news from outside of the world of video games that has pleased me immensely. Piers Morgan is leaving Good Morning Britain, presumably for being a twat. Good riddance to bad rubbish.
Here's what I love your British perspective on it, of course, but Piers Morgan, what I've always seen about this guy is he just fucking sucks. And so today I saw, of course, somebody called him out on being a complete jackass, and he got up and left like a little baby with his toys.
And now never to return. Good riddance. Fuck off. Glad to see the back of that asshole. Been spewing toxic and bile into British public life for decades. Hopefully this is he'll end up on one of these fucking right-wing TV networks that's going to be popping up in the UK in the next couple of years, but I won't have to look at your stupid fucking face anymore when Good Morning Britain is popping up in my Twitter feed. Anyway, that's put a big smile on my face. The official list of upcoming games on each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Now, Gary, did you watch that whole Prince Harry and Meghan Markle interview with Oprah?
My wife watched it. I watched a little bit of it because obviously you couldn't get away from it. It was all over my Twitter feed.
Sure.
At the end of the day, I'm an arch anti-monarchist, always has been. Anything that hastens the extinction of that thoroughly irrelevant and deeply toxic institution of the British royal family has my full support. I think it's just a fucking massive, massive, massive sponge on the British public purse. They contribute nothing. They do nothing. The fact that there's racism and all this kind of stuff inside of the British royal family is a surprise to no one who's been paying attention for the past several hundred years. Fuck all of them, basically. I'll be glad when they're gone and we can be a proper country.
You think they'll ever be gone?
Nah. But it's a nice thing to think about.
Sure. Okay. Out today, Darkanoid on Steam, Stronghold Warlords on PC, Apex Legends on Switch, Pacer on Xbox One, Forza Horizon 4 on PC via Steam. Red Dead Online has some new stuff to look forward to. A free ability card awaits players this week as the Outlaw Pass number 4 nears its last 7 days. Also bringing with it rewards and boosts for current Outlaw Pass owners and bounty hunters. Perfect for ranking up. Guild Wars 2, the Ice Brood Saga Episode 5 balance is available now. Watch Dogs Legion Update 3.20 adds online mode, not for PC like we reported on yesterday. And then the Division 2 Update 12.3 is now live. This introduces seasonal reruns while they work on the content for later this year. New dates for you. Karma Chapter 1 is coming to Steam on March 17th. Lost Words Beyond the Page launches on Steam, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One on April 6th. And then Chronicle of Innsmouth, Mountains of Madness will release on Steam on March 23rd. Gary, we ask people, of course, to write in to be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, everything under the daily video game sun. But also, very importantly, you can give us your squad up requests. Of course, this is where you write in and say, hey, I need somebody to play video games with. And I say, hey, what's your username and, you know, where you're going to go and what do you need to play? And you say all that information and then we put it here and people come and play with you. Today, LOL needs help on PlayStation and PC. The username on everything is Lolly's Up. So LALLYSUP. Maybe it's Lolly Sup on PlayStation, Twitter, and Steam. Hello, best friends. So I recently reached my 5th year in recovery, sobriety, being clean, and have thought about how games have been a big part of my life and getting through the tough times, especially early on. I know this past year has been a struggle for a lot of people, and if anyone is ever looking to squad up and play some games, or even anyone who is struggling and wants support, I'd be happy to help. I'm new to a lot of multiplayer games, but I'm always down to run some Ghost of Tsushima Legends or try something new. If you want to play with LOL, hit up Lolly's Up, LALLYSUP, on Twitter, PlayStation, and or Steam.
full credit there. I'm more than a decade sober myself. It's not easy, and I admire anyone who's able to stick to it. Probably the best thing I'd probably be dead today if I hadn't quit drinking when I had. It was not easy to do, but it was probably the best thing I ever did for myself. And like I said, it's not easy. And anyone who's able to kind of to conquer that and get back, on the straight and narrow, good for them.
Do you talk about that a lot? I mean, I know as your friend, we've talked about it, but I mean, I feel like it's not something you share publicly, but I also guess you aren't as much of a podcast.
I don't go out on my way to talk about it, but I'm not ashamed of it. I'm an alcoholic, or at least I used to be a very, very, very heavy drinker, and it deeply debilitated my life. And it was health issues, social issues, all kinds of problems. Now I'm a dad, it's inconceivable. I could never go back to that life. I'm much happier the way that I was. But yeah, I just made a decision one day. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to stop drinking. And I never had another drink. Whenever Wrath of the Lich King came out, that's how I remember it. It was around then. I got drunk at some Wrath of the Lich King launch event and embarrassed myself. And I remember thinking, you know what, I can't do this anymore. And I just stopped. It was relatively, not to brag, or I don't mean it this way at all, it was relatively easy for me. I never went to AA or anything like that. I just decided to stop drinking, and I never had another drink. It's always something that could happen again one day. I mean, again, now I'm a dad, I won't ever let it happen. But, you know, it's why people say that, it's why alcoholics don't say I used to be alcoholics, and they am one. They're in the present tense, because you always, always are. But I haven't had a drink now in well over a decade. And like I said, it's the best thing I ever did for myself, and I love my wife Leah for helping me through that. It's rough, and I look back on it now. I'm ashamed of myself. Some of the things I did when I was a heavy drinker, and I'm so much better for it, and the people around me are so much better for it as well. And let's, like I said, so you know, I only brought it up because that person sounded like they've been on a similar journey. And like I said, it's not easy. It's much harder for some people than it is for others. And anyone that can stick to it, you know, day by day. They have my admiration.
Well, you have mine, Gary. Congratulations on your sobriety as well. And of course, Lolly's up, who of course Jeffy Grub did the quote, Lolly's up, Greg Miller. And I'm like, it does sound weird when you say that. I have a required reading for you, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, over there on the internet, there's a site called GamesBeat, and usually it's just Jeffy Grub just shitting out articles, and it be like, oh, this is gonna happen. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but he keeps employed. I don't understand it. There's also a guy over there named Dean Takahashi who writes amazing stuff, and today he wrote about how Paragon is actually back from the dead, kind of. You can go to GamesBeat to read the full story because it's interesting, but here are four paragraphs from it, okay? Omida Studios has raised $2.2 million to create a cross-platform, third-person, multiplayer, online battle arena game called Predecessor. The game is based on the assets of Epic Games' Paragon MOBA title. Paragon was Epic's attempt to join the MOBA market that Riot Games' League of Legends helped create. But it never succeeded in pulling in players from that game, and the enormous success of Epic's Fortnite Battle Royale mode overshadowed Paragon. Epic canceled it in January 2018. Again, this is Greg now, much to the chagrin of Andrea Renee. Everyone remembers that Andrea Renee was obsessed with Paragon. One of the people who was devastated by Paragon's cancelization was streamer Robbie Singh, an influencer who had a following of 50,000 people who watched his streams about Paragon. After Epic shut the game, it decided to make the assets of Paragon available to other developers in July 2018. Singh decided to rally his community and form a team to pick up where Epic left off. Singh started the company in January 2020 with Andrea Gorella, not Renee, and Steven Mueller. Omida Studios was born with a name that spells a demo backwards, and it went to work on Predecessor. The team has a dozen people, and it received an Epic Games mega grant to work on the game. It has staged an alpha test and expects to ship an early access version of the game this year and a finished game next year. A fascinating report of going through and being so dedicated to a game that you just won't let it die, and going through and making this happen. So if you have the time, head over to GamesBeat, click on this one about Omida Studios, about Predecessor. Don't click on any of Jeffy Grub stories, because it could be fake. You don't know. Gary, it's time to look into your wrong. Of course, people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong to correct us on things.
I guess we know I don't get things wrong, but give it your best shot.
There's been a lot of editorializing going on here. Yeah. This has nothing to do with us. You're trying to do breaking news, I guess. Yeah, I've seen this too. Game Jumper X calls out that, like, right now, if you're the Xbox test that's going on, you can get Google Stadia to the browser. It's a funny little thing. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same story, but I read about how through the Xbox browser you'll be able to play Steam games and games on the Epic Store.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's not an, I don't think it's an official thing. It's kind of like a workaround, so it's bound to be spotty, but it's interesting.
Ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, that's the end of Kind of Funny Games Daily. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, but you can also go there to get the post-show Blessing Eddie Oye Jr. and Barrett Courtney are about to do. Gary and I both have 11 o'clock commitments to go bounce to. Of course, you can write in there. You can be part of the show, ad-free, all that jazz. If you have no bucks to toss our way, of course, you can get a brand spanking new episode, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe daily. Tomorrow, on Mario Day, it will be the future class of video games, Blessing Eddie Oye Jr., being joined by our friend Janet Garcia. Thursday, it's Tim Tam. That's right. Tim is back with GameSpot's Timur Hussein. And then Friday, it is me and Irrational Passions, Alex O'Neill, coming to close out your week and do it. If you're watching live, Andy, Nick, Tim, and Snowbike Mike are about to play more of that there Mario and Bowser's Fury over there and have some fun over there. Gary's going to go have a call. Is it a, what call is this? Is it a business call? You going to write a script?
I got a doctor's appointment. It's nothing.
No, that's not as exciting. I thought you were working on an MCU TV show? DC EU movie?
Keep trying.
Have you booked us another comic book gig? Are we writing another comic book soon? You know what I mean? I can't do it. They don't want me.
I actually do have something to tell you in that.
There we go. All right. Now we're talking, everybody. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, Twitch stream coming up right now. If you're not catching it live, youtube.com/kindafunnyplays. That's right. Right, Kevin? I got that one. youtube.com/kindafunnyplays. Sure. It's a new one.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's probably it.
That's probably it. If not, just you. Okay, yeah. Murph Dad says I got it. And then if not, post show over on Patreon. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.